This is Relationship, a podcast presenting a gay look at traditional relationships and values.
With your hosts, the Cratellis. I'm Marco.
And I'm Tony.
And can't nobody knock it if they tried. This is hustle personified. Look how we've been fighting to stay alive. So when we win, we will have pride.
Oh, we just decided to make our own run there.
Do you know how much we have cried? How hard we had to fight? That's what you're supposed to come in and say. It feels so good to be alive.
It would help if we actually rehearsed these things so I knew my mark.
Got all my sisters by my side.
Sound.
I had to sing that song because, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but
we never really leave Beyonce, Marco.
Ever. Ever. But I had to sing that song because, A, it was like the only song not in the Beyonce, well, there's plenty of songs that that wasn't in the Renaissance film, but then to bitch accomplished quite a bit this weekend, and so I wanted to celebrate her just a teensy bit. So.
Any excuse for Beyonce?
Yeah, Marco. Why not?
Any excuse?
It's not an excuse. The least it's a reason. It's a legitimate reason. Beyonce. It is the reason why it happens.
It's the reason we're all here.
It's hello.
We don't know when it happened, but she took over the whole world.
Who run the world? Beyonce. Exactly. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I am good.
It's a Beyonce weekend. I'm sure you're
it
great.
It is my Beyonce weekend. There's just so much.
Not just weekend. It's been your Beyonce since Thursday.
For sure. Well, first and foremost.
First and firmest. Are you hungry? I'm firmished.
What the hell?
You told me to drink my coffee. I drank my coffee. You got no one to blame but yourself. Yikes.
It's this Bustelo. Bustelo be creeping in and
cut
just
that check.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyways, that being said, first and foremost, I wanted to apologize to everyone for us not being around last week. Tony and I had traveled after the Thanksgiving weekend. We were feeling pretty sluggish and a little under the weather, so we kind of took it easy to try to recover because we were convinced that COVID or
we literally took flu. COVID tests.
Yeah, we had to because we were just not feeling too hot after we came
I'm
back.
I'm glad we never got like officially formally sick, but we definitely danced around the edge of it for like almost a week.
We were not well. Mm. And so, and both of us, we were like sleeping. We slept to like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm. And we got, it was just really, really bad. So we were like,
case of the cruds.
Yeah. We were like, there's no way that we are going to be able to give you content outside of an emergency room. So we might as well just like stay
this
here.
This episode is brought to you by Urgent Care.
And recover. So I apologize for us. We apologize for not having given you new content last week. That said, we haven't spoken to you all since Thanksgiving. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday visiting my family in Atlanta. It was magical. It was actually really magical.
I had a great time.
Yeah, I always had my little apprehension underpants on with it, just because you never know.
Have apprehension underpants.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
That sounds like a children's book.
Sure.
Copyright Marco.
I love this. I hadn't been to my family's house in a really long time. And the holidays, intention, and, you know, those types of things just kind of always creep. And I just tend to have anxiety surrounding the situation. So I knew I was going to have fun. I didn't know what to expect is what it really boiled down to. And it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. 10 out of 10. I was very happy we went, and I was very sad to leave. I was actually very sad to leave. So it was a good time. I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
It was wonderful. I mean, it was great hanging out with Turbo and the Steves.
Yeah, my sister and her boyfriend Steven got a new dog named Turbo, so that was a delight.
That was super cute.
That was fun to hang around. My mom and my dad were incredible.
I always enjoy talking to your dad. I just think he has such a great, wise take on it. And then you know, I love your mom. And your mom and I got to have a nice little sneak away where we drove over to Red Lobster, and it was just the two of us, and we had fun. She almost killed someone, but we had fun.
You could have left that part out.
I still don't think she even knows it happened.
No, she doesn't. She has no idea. But we played games. We laughed. It was a really, really good. We cooked. My mom, who is the supreme cleaner, let us get in the kitchen and cook, and she just came in and cleaned behind us, and
every 30 seconds
it was just a beautiful match. I know, it was a little bit much,
but I thought it was fantastic. I love that she kept calling you chef.
It was
yes, chef. Okay, yes. Chef.
It was just whatever really you say, fun. Chef. It was just a really good time. Cute. So yeah, so
I had a blast.
I had a really good time.
But I always enjoy your family.
I also had, now, you know, this is a wonderful seamless transition.
Except you pointed it out, but go ahead. No,
seamless transition. So while we were out there, I picked up an amazing Beyonce Roman candle. It was
not a Roman candle.
It is, like, they're technically considered Roman candles.
No, a Roman candle is the thing from the 4th of July that, like, shoots up the fire. Those are Roman candles.
What is that candle called? Catholic candle?
Yes, it's just a prayer candle.
Okay, yeah. So I picked that up. and I will have to put, I mean, I put pictures on my personal Instagram page about it, but I'll have to put one out on the pod relationship one, because this is fucking hilarious. You? No, it's in the spare room.
Oh, she belongs behind you.
Like, there's no room over here.
The shrine for Beyonce.
There's no room over here.
Makes sense.
But that being said, I saw this candle. It was the Catholic prayer candles, if you will. And they had one with Beyonce. They had so many. So they had a Lady Gaga one. They had
a David Bowie one.
A Lizzo one, a David Bowie one. And of course, there was a Beyonce one there. And it was so ridiculous that I was like, I have to have this. Like, it's just so stupid. Mm-hmm. Tony, I mean, there's an inside joke between me and Tony. Me and Dana, like, I always talk about, you know, our Lord and Savior Beyonce, all that. Like, I always do that. So that being said, I had to get the candle.
Our Lady of the Perfect Pitch.
Yes, the perpetual perfect pitch. I love it. So yes, we got that, which then leads me into our Renaissance full weekend. Like,
well, your Renaissance full weekend, my one time.
Yeah, you went the one time. You contributed.
I did.
You contributed.
I was at the beginning.
So
I was the trendsetter.
If you have been living under a rock, Beyonce released Renaissance, a film by Beyonce, in theaters. And it is...
By the Beyonce.
By the Beyonce.
For the Beyonce.
Written by the Beyonce. From the Beyonce. Scored by the Beyonce executive producer. Starring Beyonce. The Beyonce. Yeah, like, it's crazy. But that being said,
choreographed by not Beyonce.
That was Fatima. But that being said, we went day one. While we're recording this, I am going on my third night
in, yeah. Not quite in a row, but...
Yeah, I took a break on Saturday. I took a break. Yeah. I would have gone yesterday, too, but, like, you and I recovered. No, I would have gone by myself. I would have dragged you, and you would have... Honestly, you would have come with me if I would have been like, babe, I really want to go again. You would have been like, fine. Like, not a big deal. But I was like, no, let me take a little bit of a break on Saturday. We were supposed to get some stuff done for the house, and that was part of the reason. That didn't end up happening, but anyways... I'm getting ready. It's Sunday and I'm getting ready to go again. So this will be my third time on opening weekend. Mm-hmm. And I am so happy I got to contribute to Beyonce's.
Yes, because she needed your money.
She did.
It's a poor thing.
Well,
starving artist up I and
know,
coming.
I know. She definitely needed it. I know. She money. Just, she needed it. It's not for her. It's for her crew. It's for everybody that's a part of the situation. We all know this. She says it in the film. Anyways, that being said, she made $11.5 million on opening night, which is the highest grossing post-Thanksgiving film to date, which is incredible.
So niche and specific.
It is
the highest grossing post-Thanksgiving concert-related black woman-directed film of all time.
Well, no, because Thanksgiving and Christmas are two huge movie theater time periods. Usually after Thanksgiving, like the day after Thanksgiving, everyone's in the theaters to see that. That's why they release like this Christmas or this Thanksgiving like movies. Like it's a huge benchmark for movie releases.
Families are together during those times, they're more likely to go. Like,
correct, it makes sense. Correct. And yeah. So, and I guess the last film to do it was, I can't even remember. It's not that important.
Because it's not Beyonce.
But... You're but it was so like dumb. It was like it was a couple decades ago, and it was they had done $8 million on that weekend, or like that
a couple decades ago. They got to scale that.
Yeah, so it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So $11 million, and she is 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is incredible. She is a certified fresh, is what they call it. So it is amazing. You saw it. What did you think of it?
I mean, at first I was very worried because there was absolutely no one in the theater.
And then the gaggle of gays came.
And then all the gays descended. I was like, this is literally like a nightclub right now.
Well, let's be fair. It's all of the Astoria gays, because we saw the film in Astoria.
Why you gotta come for the Astoria gays? It was just a gaggle of gays.
No. Like, because my point is that I was trying to get tickets for in the city, and they were all booked. I couldn't get tickets for it. So I was thrilled when our local theater was also showing it. And so Astoria gays is a smaller percentage of the New York City gay community, if you will. And so, yes, it was fairly empty. And even the second night that I went, it wasn't as full. I've been watching on Twitter. I've been looking at everybody else's like theater experience, packed like wall to wall. But the theaters that I've been to here in Astoria are fairly empty as a result of it's a niche gay community that is watching this film. Still lovely community, had a ball with them both nights. Probably will have a great time with them tonight as well.
This afternoon,
but like it's a smaller percentage. So anyways, please continue.
I was very pleased to see everything starting to fill up, things overheard. and then I loved, I mean, people were definitely, it was the highest level of audience participation I've ever experienced. But I think my favorite part was.
And you've been to like a Rocky Horror before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A Rocky Horror?
Multiple Rocky Horrors.
A couple hundred. Yeah. I think my favorite part, somebody brought a fan. And I was like, yeah, that needed to happen.
I think I'm going to do it on tonight so I can do my clack.
You need to tell Dana to bring her fan.
Probably, yeah, I will. Yeah, so we can clack because it was fun. Yeah. Well, and delightful. The second night that I went, so the first night was fun because I got to go with you. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was more of like a... let's get all the details. Let's get all the information. Like, let's have the behind the scenes experience. Like, let's do that. And it was tamed. We sang, we danced, but it wasn't very, like, it wasn't overly interactive. It
wasn't turned up.
The second night I went with my friend Daniel, mm-hmm. and going with Daniel, who is always at like a 9.8, it was much more interactive. We were like singing with the gals in the back. Like we were having fun. He was like, let's stand up and dance. I was like, Daniel, we're not going to stand up and dance right now. Like, let's watch and let's sing and let's have fun. But like, I'm not getting ready to get up and dance at this theater. I don't have a buzz. And so it was...
I mean, that's your fault.
I know. Well, I also... everyone who knows me knows I have squirrel bladder. So if I have a teensy bit of alcohol, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. And I was like, I can't miss out on this film.
I can't not be here.
That many times. Yeah. So I was like, I'm just not going to do that. So that being said, it was a little bit different of a theater experience. But it was... it was fun. I'm glad you had fun.
I did. I enjoyed.
My favorite part, I was telling Daniel, I was like, my favorite part of the entire thing is when you got to experience her drunken love runs, because you're not on social media, so you don't know or experience like what everyone's experiencing real time. So you got to see that for the first time. Your eyes were so big. I was telling Dwayne, I was like, Dwayne, eyes the size of saucers, because Tony, you were like in awe of her voice.
Incredible.
You were like, holy shit.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm always amazed by the sounds that come out of her, but that was very impressive.
Yeah, you were. And I was like, oh, bitch, wait, just wait. And then it happened and you were like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
I grabbed you at one point.
Yeah. Don't worry. We didn't do a Bobert in the theater, but it was fun. You don't know what. See,
no, again, we definitely didn't do a Bobert. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nope. Certainly. We actually talked about not doing that before we went. I think it was in the contract.
See, other people who are listening to this are laughing because a Bo Burnham.
I mean, I'm laughing. I used to love Bo Burnham on Sesame Street.
Do you? What? Do you know who Lauren Boebert is?
No.
She's a representative in Colorado. We hate her. She and Marjorie Taylor Greene are like the witches of Eastwick. Like, no one likes them, right?
People like the witches of Eastwick.
Yeah, we don't like them. We can't stand them. Anyways, Lauren Boebert went to go see a theater performance of Wicked, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Maybe, nope, it was Beetlejuice. It was Beetlejuice, and she was with some guy. She just divorced her husband, so she's with some new guy. There's like video footage of him groping her boobs in the middle of the theater, her giving him a little bit of a handy outside of his pants, like in the theater, and then she's vaping in it. Ew. And she got kicked out of the theater, and she went to tell everyone that they were, oh, it was the Democrats, they hate me, blah, 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 no, blah, blah, and all this other stuff. And then the video footage comes out, and they were like, no, you were being inappropriate in the middle of the theater, and that's the reason why you got kicked out. So you said I grabbed you in the middle. You know, grabbed you to the
purpose. I clutched your arm like I clutched my purse.
I was like, don't worry. We didn't do a Boebert. See, no. Oh my God, that took so much explanation. I'm tired.
Well, then perhaps we should move on. Because you get to talking about Beyonce and you just keep going and going and going and going. We got a schedule to keep here, my friend.
Oh my gosh, that was exhausting. Anyways, if you have not seen Renaissance, a film by Beyonce, then I highly recommend
for the that Beyonce, you go see. By the Beyonce, about the Beyonce.
I highly recommend it. Tony and I will probably be doing, after my third film viewing, we'll probably hop on IG and give our final, like, how are we feeling post Renaissance? We're gonna have to do it. We're gonna have to do it. What, Tony, you got something to say?
No, I don't. No, I don't. Not now and not during that thing you just said. It was delightful. The end. There's a hashtag going on somewhere, right? We're going to talk about something
hashtag
else.
Renaissance, a film by Beyonce. Oh, Jesus. No. Let's hop into our hashtag queer relationship goals. Huh?
We can only talk about Beyonce.
Oh, my God. So hush. See, you're the one that keeps bringing her up. Tony and I have picked a wonderful queer couple to highlight and praise as a positive representation of a relationship within the queer community. If you are interested in becoming our hashtag queer relationship goals on a future show, or if there is a relationship that inspires you, you can tag us on photos on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Our handle is @podrelationship. Together, let's further the movement that shines queer relationships in a positive light. This week, we are highlighting Beyonce.
And her relationship with Beyonce.
Her, the Beehive. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. No, this week we are really excited about this couple. I'm a social media purveyor. I love to scroll.
That's one word for it.
Scrolling is my zodiac sign. And in scrolling, I ended up finding this amazing couple that defies all logic and everything. They are just wonderful, and I'm in awe of them. And that is the relationship of Sterling Simcox. So he is at SSIMCOX as in X-ray on Instagram. And his husband, who I'm a huge fan of as well, and that is Andre Sharon. So that is at ACHARRON88 on Instagram as well. Sorry, my phone decided to play a little bit of music during that. So that
was it Beyonce?
It wasn't Beyonce, sadly. So this is another one of those couples that I always talk about that, like, I have no idea how they are able to accomplish what they accomplish. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like they're on like a Beyonce time continuum at this point, because how do you have three children? Mm-hmm. How do you have these absolutely amazing bodies? Mm-hmm. How do you have this wonderful relationship and love and career and all of these other things and still be able to put out a wonderful content that makes us salivate? Like, how do you, how bitch, how? They're wonderful.
Yeah, they really are. This is an incredible couple and family. And yeah. Really, I mean, for me, it's over 11 years together.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, I mean, yes, let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. They are freaking hot.
Oh, gorgeous.
And that's incredible. Yay that. But for me, it's like all the sweetness, all the togetherness, like you get the sense that they spend all their time together, and maybe that's just curated and I'm wrong, but I feel like all they do everything together as a couple, as a family. And I really love that. I love all the activities with the kids. I love all the DIY stuff, which I think is just incredible. They're phenomenal. They're absolutely fantastic. This is a great couple.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think I'm so fascinated about with like gays who end up having children as well is that I feel like in straight culture, that children means the end of your personal identity.
Mm-hmm.
That because you're now a parent, your entire life is devoted to your children.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about gays who have children or queer people who have children is that they manage to not only make their lives about their children, but they still focus and hone in on themselves. So mm-hmm. they're still going to the gym. They're still hot. They're still really amazing. They're still fun. They still have their personality. And I love seeing that. And, mm-hmm. As a person who is childless, I have always maintained that just because you have children doesn't mean you have to lose yourself. Just because you're in a relationship doesn't mean you have to lose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like seeing gays that exemplify that, right? Mm-hmm. That like kind of shout that from the rooftops. You know, there's this amazing picture of them as Mario and Luigi for like Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in short shorts. They are in they are shirtless. They have like gorgeous ass bodies, but then at the same time, like you'll scroll up a little bit and then there's the family picture of mm-hmm. them with the kids where they're covered up and they are the cast of Toy Story, mm-hmm. right? And they're doing a really good job. So it just goes to show that like there is no one way to family, that you can be a family man, a family person, I should say. Like you can still focus on your family. You can still love your partner. You can still be devoted a dad and all of that stuff. Like you can still do those things. And when the kids are to bed, you can still be a hot ass father with a banging ass body that is in love with your person that is throwing down however you want to. Like, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I think gays do a really good job. Queer people do a really good job of showing that.
Mm-hmm.
That, I can't tell you how many times I've heard like straight, relationships, you hear the mothers like, oh, I didn't get to shower. I didn't get to do my hair. The husband's gone at work. and I'm over here mothering and doing all of these things. Whereas the gays are like, no, it's 50-50 in this house. He's taking care of them while I go to the gym, and then I'll come back and then he'll go to the gym and then we'll do all the family things that we need to do. Anyways, I'm rambling at this point, but I just love them. I think that they're really cool.
They're fantastic. And I think you're going to love them too.
Yeah, I know y'all are going to love them. So check them out on Instagram. You can check out Sterling. He is at S-S-I-M-C-O-X on Instagram. That's at S Simcox on Instagram. And then Andre is at A-C-H-A-R-R-O-N 88 on Instagram. That's at A-Sharon 88 on Instagram. And that is Andre and Sterling. They're absolutely wonderful. We know that you're going to love them, so check them out. Tony and I are going to take a very short break, but when we come back, we are going to try to solve the world's problems, Critelli style. Do you hear that?
Hear what?
It's the sound of our listeners donating money on Patreon so they can get access to more relationship content outside of the weekly podcast.
Oh, mm-hmm. I can hear it now.
Seriously, though, head over to patreon.com/podrelationship right now and become a relationship podcast donor. Contribution starts at just $3 a month. That's less than the cost of your frou-frou coffee from that nameless coffee chain that burns their beans.
Very covert of you.
I know, right?
Anyway, other tiers are $5, $10, and $25 a month with extra relationship content at each level. You can start listening to segments like Critelli Crap, our monthly airing of our dirty relationship laundry.
Or Guests Take on Shit, Our invitation for guests to comment on the week's topic and give their thoughts and guidance so we all get a different perspective.
Other segments include Shit Thrown At You, our rapid-fire Q&A for guests, or board games Marco and I play with each other. Some insightful and helpful, and others hilarious or risque. All this is available to you at different levels of donation.
There is so much more relationship content at patreon.com/podrelationship, and now is the time to start donating.
Not only does your contribution help run the podcast behind the scenes, but it allows us to learn more about you and what you want to hear from us, making the podcast a community effort and labor of love.
So head to, say it with me now, patreon.com/podrelationship right now and start donating today.
We want to thank you ahead of time for your contribution to the podcast and continuing to support us the way you have for all these years.
We love you all, and we'll see you on Patreon.
Bye.
All right, Tony. So, to start this week's topic, I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
What are your preferences?
Top.
For your partner's
bottom
body hair.
Oh, I mean, I prefer hairless to very little hair. But I have been with hairier guys, and that was fine, but it's not my preference.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So let's start from top to bottom.
Oh, okay. So me and then you?
No, like, so like, do you have a preference for facial hair?
Facial hair? I prefer like a little bit of unshaven. I don't need a clean shave, but you, I also like don't need a big old beard. Yeah. Or flat out stubble, like a little bit of, a little bit of dirty. Yeah.
Okay. Little bit of dirty.
A little bit of dirty. I like a lot of bit of dirty, but a little bit of dirty on the face.
You're stupid. And then,
I'm me.
And then in terms of body hair, you like a light dusting of hair.
A light dusting of hair on the chest and the tummy is fine.
Okay.
The legs are fine. Pubic hair is fine. Armpit hair is fine. Like, all that is arm hair. Like, it's fine. I just don't want, like, big old bushy, like, all over. Like, at least trim that down. You don't, if like not get rid of it outright.
Sweater no. body hair.
No. No.
Okay.
Even me, I consider myself to be a fairly hairy guy, but I'm not wearing a sweater.
So we'll get to your personal body hair preferences, but okay, that's fair.
If you were completely shaven, that would be fine as well. Dolphin.
You smooth.
Dolphins are fine.
So much maintenance.
Well, that's why I say it's fine. It's a nice treat. For my birthday or for the anniversary, or on a holiday, it's a nice treat, but I understand it's a lot of work.
So. It is a lot of work.
It's not, I've never been like a you must kind of on anything person, but in particular with body hair, like you're you and I love you. So however you come, that's what I like.
Got it.
Overheard.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So me personally, I'm a lot more attracted to a grizzlier aesthetic, if you will. Mm-hmm. I don't need, kind of to your point, I don't need like full on bear, if that makes sense, but I do enjoy, I like men. Mm-hmm. So I want like a manly aesthetic, if that makes any sense. I'm not saying, you know, full disclosure, I'm not saying that if you don't have body hair that you're not a man.
Right.
I'm just saying for me, I like a man in his more natural,
state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just something that I'm a lot more into. So in terms of facial hair, I do prefer beards. I do like them. There's nothing sexier or hotter than like a nice coiffed and put together beard. Like I really enjoy facial hair. I just think it's like really nice. It's not a preference, like it's not like a mandatory or a requirement type of state. I just enjoy it. It works for me. Body hair, I don't really have any particular preference. I do prefer a little bit of chest hair. But kind of to your point, I don't like a sweater element of chest hair. Like I would prefer for it to be not even a light dusting. It's like in between those two things, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. I will say, and this is probably going to be insanely controversial, I am not attracted to back hair. It is one of those things that I would absolutely prefer was either waxed and or shaved. And I am more than happy to help a partner, you specifically, but like I'm saying just in general, like shave their back if that was necessary, or if that's the route that they go. I don't mind doing stuff like that, but I don't aesthetically, I do not like seeing back hair. Mm-hmm. It's really bizarre to me.
Yeah.
And then in terms of like pubic hair and stuff like that, just, I like trimmed. I don't like bald, but mm-hmm. I do enjoy trimmed. Mm-hmm. Like just nice and manscaped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where do you think, if you were to psychologically like go into thinking about this, where do you think your preference in body hair aesthetic comes from?
I don't know. I mean, I could make something up. I've never.
Please, I love it when you make things up.
I mean, I've never really like. I think that this is a much bigger debate. Because I think people are naturally attracted to what they're naturally attracted to. Yes, things can happen that can shape that, but most of us just, it's like a pre-wiring. And again, this is a debate, so there are other people who think differently, but, and I hate to equate it to this, but I'm going to think about pedophilia.
Ooh.
Part of the problem with treating pedophilia is it's an innate desire. And so sorry for making that equation, but it,
yeah, things just got
it
real is, weird.
Yeah, but it illustrates the point, right? I could say that my, my love of, you know, the more like the less hairy body comes from, you know, the days at the pool and looking at the lifeguard. And that's when I was allowed to look because it was, you know, men socially walking around. Yeah, it was acceptable. Yeah. I mean, I could argue that, but I don't think that's really, you know, I don't think that's what it is. So that's why I say I could make something up, but I think I just innately like, this is what I like.
Yeah.
Do you feel differently?
Regarding you or myself?
No, you. Like, where does this innate desire come from?
Oh, I think that there is a nature and nurture portion of mm-hmm. it, right? I do think from, like, a nurture, if you will, I do think, and I know for me myself, that my desire, like something that I've always kind of been attracted to a little bit older, right? Mm-hmm. Like I do like a more seasoned aesthetic, if you will, or a seasoned person. And I think that once you're a teensy bit older, you are not kind of all caught up in the young aesthetic type shit that takes place. Theoretically, you would think. I don't know. I'm grasping at straws at this point, but that being said, like I do think that I like a little bit more seasoned look. I also think, and this is obviously going to be somewhat controversial, but I do think that like within the gay community, I am like attracted to a more masculine presentation. Mm-hmm. And you know, and so I think that that just comes from what was kind of shoved down our throats, things overheard, just from like a media standpoint, early on, right? Like, I think that, you know, you see these like very manly, masculine actors in movie and in television show and things like that, right? Like we had the Harrison Fords and the Bruce Willises and things like that on our televisions, right? On our movie screens. And so I think that we just kind of went with that particular aesthetic. So I do think that there is an element of that, that is, I don't know, ingrained in my preferences. And then I also think that from like a nature standpoint, I do think that there is an element, and we'll get into this in the next segment, but I do think that there is an element of gay culture that has been stamped on our head. Like I think about like gay culture of like the 90s, right? Where the buff and hairless aesthetic was kind of shoved down our throats. Things overheard yet again. From a healthy standpoint, right? We had the AIDS epidemic going on at the same time.
See, is you have to remember that what that was in response to. So,
right.
Yeah, we had it's almost like a defiance of death.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And correct. And so guys were really out here pushing this, like, I'm buff and I'm hairless, I'm healthy standpoint. And I am technically, I mean, I was born in the 80s, but I'm a child of the 90s, right? So I think what was put out there just, again, from a media standpoint and from a gay culture standpoint that also bled into the 2000s and the 2010s, right? Because now you're talking about like boy band eras, right? Where we were in love with the Justin Timberlakes and things like that of the world, but they were all bare-faced, bare-bodied, you know, kind of thing like that. So I think that a lot more of that was kind of being, you know, again, pushed on us. And so we, I think we did that, but I kind of, in a weird way, I kind of resented it. Like I was not a fan of it. Mm. It was not something that was appealing to me. Mm-hmm. Obviously as a 15-year-old, if you see that kind of stuff, it's like, that's like the only thing that like you are attracted to. But like, I don't know. I found myself still attracted to like the older men of the movies, mm-hmm. and stuff like that too. So I again, just really enjoyed, I don't know, a more masculine, manly aesthetic beyond that. Mm. That's a really long-winded way of answering that question. But anyways, that being said, what about your preferences in terms of your own personal body hair presentation?
Clean and maintained. Not hairless, for sure. I shouldn't say never. When I used to swim a lot more, I would shave my arms and legs. But like, I don't trim my anything other than, you know, a little bit of manscaping. Sure. Sorry, mm-hmm. A little bit of manscaping. You know, I don't go to the barber nearly as often as I should, but I do enjoy what I look like after, because I do enjoy just being neatly groomed.
Yeah.
So that's it for me personally, my presentation. Like, I like to be neatly groomed, but I also don't mind if I'm like behind a little bit. Like, yeah, I'll get there eventually. Like, I don't go crazy grizzly, but I definitely
there are times where you do. There are times when you do. Mm-hmm. I wish, because like, again, I don't necessarily need you coiffed. I'm completely okay. I actually am. I 100% was attracted to you and married you because you are not coiffed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of those things that like is appealing to me about you. I do with like, if your timer is like by 4 weeks you get grizzly, I wish you would set your timer off at 3 weeks, so mm-hmm. you didn't get to grizzly. Mm-hmm. because if 4 weeks is your grizzly time point, you will wait to go take care of it at 5 weeks,
right?
And I'm like, oh my god, I wish he would, you know, get ahead of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, you usually are pretty good at it. And I don't have any complaints about your level of body hair or anything like that. Like, I think that you're good. But you prefer yourself in the state that you're at. Yeah?
Yeah, I would like to just be presentable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for me. You?
I like it. So I do enjoy being coiffed myself
every day, if not at most every 3 days.
That is actually something that a therapist would have a field day with. But a lot of it, I think, is just some of like my OCD. For example, like, I do have to shave my head every single day. A lot of that has to do with the fact that I do not enjoy the pricklies that come out from not shaved. Like, right now I need to shave my head because it drives me crazy that I can feel the stubble mm-hmm. that's growing out. So I definitely have to do that on a day-to-day basis. I can go without shaving my face. Like, I probably at this point shave my face maybe twice a week at this point. Like, I do tend to let it grow out a little bit more than I did at certain points in time in my life. If I have something important to go to, I will shave my face so that I can be nice and bare-skinned, and that will be great. But if it's not that important, I will probably, I'll shave on like a Monday and like a Thursday kind of thing, just because I just don't care. My head gets shaved every day, but face doesn't. So in terms of body hair, my family and I laugh about this on a consistent basis because I am like the hairiest
out of everyone.
Out of everyone. Mm-hmm. And I'm excluding the women in the family, but like,
I mean, you can include them.
Yeah.
You are hairier than them.
But like, I'm hairier than like my father and my brother, and no one knows and or understands why. Where or why. Like, it's really confusing. I have really curly, thick
hair,
dense hair
everywhere.
Yeah, and it's really weird. And it's to be vulnerable at this point. It's one of those things that I am kind of self-conscious about, to be honest with you. I don't like the level of body hair I have on like my arms and my legs. It really drives me crazy. I just wish it was thinner than what it is. And so that's what I do, is I thin it out at this point. There were, I think early in our relationship, I was like shaving it off and I was like bare and like trying to like be, a dolphin during that time period. But as I've gotten older, ain't nobody got time for those long shower moments. So I instead now like thin it out more during like the summer months where that like hair is out and presented a lot more.
Like, you'll like take a like a half hour or more and you'll just get out the trimmers and you'll just do your arms and your legs once, maybe twice during the season. But that's it for the whole year.
Because again, I'm wearing shorty shorts and, you know, sleeveless shirts and things like that. So I'll do that during the summer months. But yeah, it is. It's something I'm very self-conscious with, and I don't really enjoy it. I've grown to love my chest hair at this point. I do thin it out just a teensy bit. Black people have this thing with the texture of our hair where if you don't thin it out, it tends to look like, and we joke and call it taco meat.
It clumps.
Yeah, where it clumps and does that thing. And I don't enjoy the presentation of that. So I'll thin it out so that it doesn't do that. And that's great. I do like to shave my armpits. I think it's a black people thing, but because our armpit hair is coarse and curly, and I only can use, you know, deodorant with aluminum, and I have to use like a solid stick of deodorant. I hate clumps of deodorant in my armpit hair. It's disgusting to me. It really grosses me out. And so I 100% have to shave my armpits so that I don't experience that. It drives me crazy. But that is also like maybe twice a month type situation where I will trim my armpit hair down. It's not very like frequent.
Yeah.
And in terms of pubic hair, no one really asked that question, but, but I do, like to stay nice and maintained. I've since you, which is really funny because, I think back in the day, I was like a bald is beautiful type person, but you actually appreciate pubic hair. And
I enjoy a full bush.
You enjoy a full bush. But that being said, it's because of you that I've actually grown my pubic hair out more over the years than I ever have before. So I do stay nice and maintained and trimmed and stuff like that. But I do actually have hair down there because before, like in the early days of you and me, I was, again, hairless down there because I just, from an aesthetic standpoint, just prefer it. So I've kind of grown that. So I don't know that I necessarily think that you're super in tune to gay culture or like you're seeing things.
No, not me.
But is there any like standouts that you have just in terms of like what gays see from a body hair standpoint? Are there anything, you know, porn, again, social media or anything like that? Are you seeing anything that you're kind of like, wow, this is where we're at right now?
No, I mean, there's definitely, I mean, there's, as long as there's been porn, there's been shave porn. So that's definitely a thing. I think it's an aesthetic thing. I think it's a power and control thing. I think it's a socially acceptable barbershop fantasy kind of thing. I think it's this mixture of tension and all this, which I find very interesting, again, just in general in porn, because maybe you see it in straight porn, but you see it a lot in gay porn, a lot in gay male porn. But no, otherwise, no, I think there's always been, you know, preferences, fetishes with hairless to super hairy. I think that's just a thing and it always will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You?
I think.
You who's much more in tune?
Yeah. I think that, I think that if you seek it, you will find it type situation. Sure. So it just depends on your preferences and what you want to look at. Like there are a lot of hairless, you know, buff guys that are out there. There are plenty. It doesn't take a lot of effort to scroll through your Instagram page to find them. But I will say that there is a lot more of an embracing of the hairy guys out there. The only issue that I personally have with it is that I think that there is just such a definition of hairy people. They are the daddies or the zaddies, if you will, the bears of the gay culture spectrum, if you will. And I think I have a little bit of an issue with that, is that if you're hairy, you are automatically this position, this person, this relation within the gay community or the gay, again, the gay spectrum. And I have a little bit of an issue with that. Obviously, the hairless ones tend to be, especially if you're hairless and smaller, like you're the twinks, right? Just by definition, right? And then there's like the muscle gays that are hairless as well. And they can be just about anything. That they can be tops, they can be bottoms, they can be verse, they can be whatever they want. But it's like usually the hairier you are, the more you are seen as a zaddy, a bear, a top type situation. And I'm a little bothered by that. Like, where are the hairy skinny bottoms? Do you see what I'm saying? Like
the otters.
Yeah, like where are they, you know? Like where do they exist? And so I would love to see a lot more of that kind of representation out there. And you know, I might not be in tuned to all the right channels. It's totally understandable. Obviously I'm tapped in, but I'm not that tapped in, right? Yeah, I would like to see a little bit more of a variation of those types of situation, because, you know, body hair is natural, especially for men. Testosterone makes your body hair grow, right? It just exists. And so I would like to see a lot more people like embracing just their natural. And obviously there's a difference, you know, if you're in bodybuilding competitions and things like that, you have to be hairless, right? It's just kind of the expectation, because they need to be able to see your musculature and definition and things. So I totally understand that. But, you know, where, again, where is the representation of the hairy, you know, bottom boy that does not represent, you know, like that there are no preferences. Do you see what I'm saying? Like they can be that, and people are embracing that and excited about it. Who are those people? You know, I would just like to see a lot more of them. I think it's fascinating. I just, again, I think it's one of those things that gay culture specifically is, you know, I just think it's so fascinating. I you know, we didn't even talk about hairy asses, right? We didn't even talk about that. Like, you know, some people want a clean working space, as you have called it many times before. Some people don't care, you know, like some people
prefer it hairy.
Yeah. Some people, prefer it hairy. And it's, I think it's just really fascinating how gay culture is the only, it's not the only, but gay culture is so good at taking a segment and segmenting it even more. Isn't that, it's just so fascinating to me. Like, we do, like, everything has to be divided, you know, by even, it whittled down to, like, even more preferences and aesthetics and behaviors, you know? Why can't you be a hairy queen, right? Why can't you just be, you know, hairy and also, you know, be a queen?
Well, like, that's why I like bearded drag so much.
It's fun, right? It's that dichotomy is like so amazing. And yeah. I do. And I find myself drawn to a lot more of those outskirts of culture. And that makes me a lot happier too. Yeah. don't know. It's fascinating. So, if you are not tuned in to our Patreon segment, if you are not a subscriber, you are really missing out. Our Patreon poops get all of the fun relationship content on there. This week, Tony and I were actually going through a timeline of gay culture and body hairness. So tune in there if you want to get kind of a little bit more of a background on gay culture's relationship to body hair. So we'll be talking about that there. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, obviously we have a couple of articles and conversations to have as it relates to gay culture and body hair. So we will see you folks in just a bit. Mondays are the worst, aren't they?
Boo, you whore.
that part. But you know, there is one way to fix the Mondays.
How do you do that, Marco?
It is by being a part of the DNR Studios family.
Oh.
That way, because everyone knows that we release new episodes of Relationship every Wednesday, but if you're a part of the DNR Studios family, you get access to it on Monday, and you're not a part of the basic bitchiness that is taking place on Wednesdays.
God, I hate those basic bitches.
They're the absolute worst.
But Marco, something this awesome sounds like it would be really expensive.
It is not, Tony. Thank you for leading me into that.
Tell me more.
For just $12.95 a month, you get access to Relationship on Mondays instead of Wednesdays. Again, basic bitches. And you also have access to a bunch of other shows that are part of the DNR Studios network. So you can hear episodes from Adam Sank, from If These Ovaries Could Talk, as well as Derek and Romaine's daily live show, which is really fun as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then you can also pay $6.95 a month and just get a relationship specific subscription. That way you can hear us again on Mondays ahead of the basic bitches, and everything is lovely for you on your Mondays.
Wow, that wasn't nearly as expensive as I thought it would be.
Thank you, random person who's a part of this commercial. Yeah, so check it out. We love being a part of the DNR Studios network, and we know that you're going to love being a part of their family. So head over to dnrstudios.com right now, sign up for your very own subscription, and get access to Relationship as well as many other podcasts and shows that are part of the DNR Studios family.
Don't be a basic bitch.
Exactly. All right, Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, geez. When Harry met Sally.
Do you remember? That was good. Harry Goldenblatt. So
Harry Styles.
Ooh, even better. Harry, yeah, I like it. Miss Harry Mack. I obviously, this week we are talking about body hair preferences. You and I, on the last segment, got to talk a little bit about our own personal preferences for a partner, and then our own personal preferences for our own bodies. But that being said, I wanted to talk a little bit about some articles that include like gay culture and gay people's thoughts about...
Actual thoughts in the head, right? Not gay thoughts. Yeah.
THOT, thoughts on like body hair and the preferences and things like that. And truth be told, I wasn't able to find like a ton of articles that had like a ton of information. So this is a little bit of a smattering of information. So bear with me.
It's a Thanksgiving dinner of articles, if you will. It's a smattering of everything.
It's that one. So this was an article. The first one I have for you is actually an article from Queerty, which I love. And Queerty has an article that was written back in 2017. And it is a new survey reveals how gay men really feel about hairy and smooth chests. And so the article starts off, it's written by Graham Greemore, which lovely name.
Definitely knows all the highest level spells.
100%. He is a Harry Potter character if I've ever heard one. Graham says, what are your feelings on body hair? A new survey conducted by the travel dating site MissTravel.com asked both gay men and straight women how they liked their men's hair, hairy or smooth. So I'm going to ask you super quickly, Tony, what if you were to just take a shot in the dark, how do you think the results came out?
Whether people prefer the men hairy or smooth? Correct. I would say smooth.
What percentage of gay men do you think like their men to be furry?
60.
Ooh, very close. 50% of gay men said they like their men to be
furry. I mean, that makes sense. 50% want it. That makes sense.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then what percentage of women do you think prefer their men's bodies to be hairless?
30.
Wrong. 61% of women said they prefer their men's bodies to be hairless.
Interesting.
Fascinating, right?
Yeah.
And I was a little taken aback by that as well, because I think I just assumed that women too would have the like my man is my man. He's right. Grizzly. Like, I like him in his all natural state type situation.
But no.
No, they want them to be a little bit more coiffed and taken care of.
Interesting.
Which actually makes a lot of sense to me. I do think that there is an element of guy that is so disconnected from their body's physical appearance that it can be so... other spectrum that you can be like not that makes into sense. It.
Yeah.
So that was fascinating to me. So the article goes on to say these results fall in line with those from a similar survey conducted earlier this year, again in 2017, that found gay men demonstrated a stronger preference for dudes with facial hair too. Homosexual men preferred hairier stimuli than heterosexual women, supporting past findings that homosexual men have strong preferences for masculine traits. I'm not shocked by that at all.
Right.
I think men do prefer beards and more grizzly appearances, whereas women would prefer more clean-shaven preferences. So that didn't actually surprise me at all. The results also mirror a similar survey conducted by Manhunt in 2013 that found 79% of gay men wanted their men to leave their body hair the way God intended, and only 21% wanted it shorn. Fascinating, right?
Very.
As for manscaping, the MissTravel.com survey also revealed that nearly half of men do manscape their chest, with 46% reporting they shave their chest hair. Fascinating, right?
It is.
So I thought that that was really interesting just in terms of like the percentages. And then I read another article that again was written in 2017. This was written by Ramon Johnson on liveabout.com. And the article is, you know, gay men and body hair, where should you shave? The question that is asked at the beginning is, do all gay men shave their body hair? And should you keep some hair or not? Where should it be? There is an ongoing hairy, messy talk about shaving your body hair and to what extent. The question today's trends ask to gay men is, should you shave or not? A few years back, you would find this question obvious to answer. If you're gay, you shave your body hair, all of it. I still remember hooking up with guys whose skin was completely smooth because of their shaving, others not so much. It used to be a question of hygiene. The less hygiene, the less hair, the less perspiration smell, which was a fascinating point to me because I don't know that I personally ever equated body hair to perspiration and or scent.
It's definite. It absolutely affects scent, especially in the pits. The chest, the pelvis, and the butthole.
Yeah. And I don't, obviously, right? It makes 100% sense, but I don't know. Correct. But I don't know that I equated it to that.
That's the reason for my preferences.
And so, and it was
that one of, and sensitivity.
Well, and then I thought about it to myself, like, you know, again, I'm just being very transparent this episode, but one of the things that I have an issue with during the summer is I have like, two areas where I like sweat more than anything ever. One is the top of my head, and the other is my crotch. And I prefer to be trimmed down there because I don't know that it was, you know, specifically because I didn't want the smell, but I just didn't want...
You didn't feel as clean.
The hair that causes more sweat heat, and all moisture. Of the heat and stuff like that to be the problem.
It does have an aroma. I mean, there's a reason people call it swamp crotch.
Well, yes.
Not that that's what you had.
Yeah, no, but yeah, for sure. But that being said, I don't... Like I said, I think I subconsciously was doing it for that. I don't know that I specifically did it for that particular reason. Because I'm also a person that enjoys man scent, if that makes any sense. Like, it's not something like it's our pheromones, right? It's who we are. It's what we are. Your body is going to sweat. Your body is going to emit like scents and things of that. So I'm not trying to like hide it. Because I just know that that is a part of it. But for me, it was a comfortability issue, right? Like the more pubic hair that I had, the more damp I felt down there. And so I would eliminate that hair so I didn't have that feeling. Yeah. That's what it was for me. It wasn't the scent or anything. It was because I just didn't want to feel swampy down there. That's what it was for me. The article goes on to say, as with most things, gay body hair is a matter of style, preference, and function. Trends flop between a smooth body and a furry body, depending on what circles you ask. There's one thing you should consider in the middle of this debate, though. Body hair exists for a reason, and it can be so sexy when trimmed right, right? And I think that is something that everybody should talk about. Cameron Diaz had come out with a book many, many years ago where she was talking about how women are so eager to shave their pubic hair, right? Because the heterosexual male aesthetic is a hairless vagina, right? They just want
not everyone's, but yes, that was the prevailing.
Yeah, that was just kind of the thing. And we're not going to get into the psychology of that, but you know, a lot of it is because men like, I don't even want to talk about this specifically, but men want the appearance of like a younger, more, you know, I don't know, aesthetically pleasing vagina. Right? Like they just want that, like that to happen. And so women were out here getting Brazilian waxes and things like that so that they could have this presentation for that man. But Cameron Diaz wrote a book and she was talking about how your body hair grows for a reason. There is a reason why it's there. That layer of hair is a protection from all sorts of bacteria and things that are going around. So trimming it off is actually going against the natural protection that you're supposed to have
there. When you encounter things, when you sweat, it drips down and you don't have it to catch it. There's no filtration there. And so it goes right inside and you get a yeast infection.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you're talking
It ain't easy being a woman.
It's not easy being a woman, but the same thing for a man too, right? Granted, all of our private parts are external, so it's not the same thing, but that your pubic hair captures certain things. Your chest hair captures things. Like, you grow this hair for a reason. Like, it's supposed to be there for a reason. So getting rid of it altogether is actually counterproductive to what's going on. Not to mention the fact that, again, and so I'm kind of diverting just a teensy bit. We as Black men have this issue with shaving our bodies and things like that, but not realizing that Black skin does not react very well to hair removal either. We are prone to ingrown hairs and razor bumps and things of that nature, and we're out here destroying our bodies for the sake of aesthetics, right? Within culture, people want us to be hairless. You know, I'm like a middle skinned person, if you will. I'm not really dark, but I'm not light at all. Like I'm kind of like smack dab in the middle. But if I get a razor bump or things like that, like you see it, like my body is like completely affected by that appearance. And so, you know, you're out here, you know, cutting up your body, creating all of these, again, trying to be hairless, trying to keep up with the Joneses or with the current aesthetic, what everyone is like super excited about. And you're actually ruining your body, and you're not supposed to be doing that. Your body is, again, growing the hair for a reason. So this article goes on to say, you know, what look are you going for and what type of man are you trying to attract? And I think that that will help you determine what course of body hair trimming that you should be doing, which is fucking crazy within itself, right? Like, just to like think of, I'm doing this to attract someone else, like crazy.
There's a fallacy there, because by the time I'm in that area, you've already attracted me.
Right.
I mean, just think about it logically.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, but there's
all. And if I can't, regardless of what you've decided to do, if I have a preference and I can't communicate that to you after I've been to that area for a while, never mind just once, because who the fuck are you? But if I've been to that area a few times and I have a preference, if I can't communicate that to you, you don't want that person anyway.
So the only argument I have against what you, because you're 100% right, but I also think that that opinion is dated, because you are talking about meeting people at a time where social media and apps did not exist, And so you've got to remember, we are living in a grinder time period, right? Where everyone is a hairless torso on a grid. And so, headless, I said, did I say hairless or headless? I meant a headless torso on a grid where you actually have the opportunity to shop what you want. And so I think there is a difference now than there used to be. What you're saying is not wrong because, again, back in the day, because we are some old fogies at this point, we were out and about meeting people in person. And to your point, we were talking and engaging and making out long before the clothes got removed. And so it was a surprise, right? You just kind of, you got to your hotel room or the back of the club or something like that, and you got what you got, right? Nowadays, you actually get to kind of pick and choose what you want, and you get to do it before you even meet the person. Like, you get to say, like, I want this, this and or that. And you get to filter out your preferences before you even do that. So you're not wrong. And what you're saying is something that I relate to. But I think if we have any 20 somethings that are listening to this podcast right now, they're going to be like, you guys sound really old right now, because I quite literally can pick whatever zaddy or hairless twink that I want at any given time.
And interesting.
It's bad, right? Yeah,
like, didn't think of it, but you're right.
Yeah. Like, those things are, it's completely different. So the article goes on to say that, like, women have been grooming for years, but gay and straight men alike have caught up to the idea in recent years. Today, men are more comfortable expressing their individuality with their bodies, not to mention one of the fastest growing demos in the grooming and cosmetic industries are men. And as somebody who works within this particular industry, I will 1000% agree to that. Men care a lot more these days about their appearance and what their presentation is than they ever have in previous years.
Well, not only are they allowed to now, they're actually being told to, which, let's not deny it. That's the only reason it was the way it was before, is because they were told not to.
Yeah. And again, we're going to talk about this in the Patreon segment. I can't ignore the early 2000s where the term metrosexual came out. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember the first time someone called me that. I was like, what?
I would never identify you as metrosexual.
I was living in the deep south, so the fact that I was slightly put together.
The fact that you put on deodorant.
And that my clothes matched. Complimented each other color-wise. Yeah.
Metrosexual.
Not quite like that.
But anyways, I remember the term metrosexual feeling freeing for me, because I felt like I particularly identified. Mind you, this was like a Marco who didn't quite understand or know that he was gay, but I did always know that I cared about my appearance and I primped and sprimped and spramped and did all that stuff. And so having myself defined by that as a metrosexual, I felt comfortable within it. But then there were guys that you called metrosexual that, like, were thoroughly offended by it. And because, and we're not even going to get into it, but there was a feeling that metrosexual was related to femininity, right? Because you cared about your opinion, you therefore were...
Your appearance.
You were therefore exhibiting female traits. And so guys were really annoyed by that. Yeah. And so we're not even going to get into that. But that being said, men's grooming is one of the fastest growing categories in personal care and beauty right now. Men care about their hair and body washes. They care about under eye cream. They care about Botox. Gays are getting Botox like nobody's business right now, because everybody wants to have this youthful appearance. They want to reduce and or like remove, you know, aging lines. They care about, they are going to the barber, you know, every week. They are getting sugar scrubbed. They are getting waxed. They are doing all of that stuff to electrolysis. They are doing it because they want to take care of their bodies and their appearance. And they're going to the gym, you know, twice a day to make sure that their bodies are looking good. And no one actually argues against it anymore. It's actually a new definition of masculinity, which is fascinating. And I'm here for it because, again, why should we, just because we have penises and testosterone, not care about our presentation? But at the same time, at what point is it too much? Mm-hmm. Right? And so I don't know. Yeah. So I found, again, this article didn't really, you know, give a shit ton of information that I thought was fascinating. But I did enjoy reading through it and figuring out, like, again, the journey that men are having through their personal appearance and their body hair and all of that, and body hair for their partners and things like that too, because I thought it was fascinating. And again, I think the conversation versus, you know, gay men versus straight women is very fascinating. Like,
sure,
how do gay men care versus how do straight women care is also very, very fascinating in terms of what we are happy to deal with. Mm-hmm. I also think, as a super quick aside, I also think because, and we've talked about this on many episodes of the podcast, I do think that most gay men's introduction into gay is older men, right? We all have had that experience where we were sadly underage or as close to underage as one should actually get. But our introduction into gay were much older men, right? We were kind of ushered into the experiences by guys that were sometimes 10, sometimes 15, 20 years older than mm-hmm. we were. And so a lot of us have grown comfortable with the idea of being the younger, hairless, skinny, primped and spramped, you know, gays, while our partners at the time were a little bit older, you know, gray haired, a little bit hairier. And so we have gotten accustomed to accepting that aesthetic because of that. And so there's a lot of, again, nurture that has taken over our abilities to truly accept what it is that we actually want because we were ushered into it instead. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And so I think that that too should have a close look at it as well, because as scary and challenging as it was for me to even get that realization out, it is a huge part of gaydom. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's fascinating. We want to hear from y'all. How do you like your body hair? How do you like your partner's body hair? What do you do? What tips, tricks, things do you like to do to try to, you know, maintain your personal appearance as it relates to your body hair? I'm very, very fascinated to hear, especially from a partner standpoint. You know, I think Tony and I just recently talked about the evolution of our relationship, how I was a little bit, you know, I was hairless at the time of our meeting. But as we have been together for 14 years and as our relationship has evolved, we've kind of grown to accept a different appearance for my body. Same thing for yours as well, like as it relates to body hair. So what is that evolution, if it exists in your relationship? And if it doesn't, like, how do y'all maintain that? How do you talk about that too? Like, because I'm very fascinated by that within itself too. So let us know a little bit more about what you do. And again, if you're not on Patreon, you're missing out on another important part of the conversation. Tony and I talk about the evolution of body hair through the decades. So join us for that conversation as well. Did you learn anything from this conversation?
Not a darn thing.
Did you find it fascinating at all?
I mean, I think it's interesting. I think it's an interesting discussion and debate, but I don't find it to be, you know, curing cancer.
Oh, I'm in no way, shape, or form trying to claim to cure cancer over here with this conversation. But this is one of those relationship things that you kind of, that like is a part of your relationship. Like, you know, you want to be appealing and, I don't know, you want your partner to be attracted to you, right? So And one of the things that you have to do is kind of maintaining your body hair, because if your partner is not aesthetically attracted to what you're giving, then you tend to lose a little bit of that. So mm-hmm. how do you maintain that, right? How do you keep that going? And again, how does it evolve in a relationship? Again, 25 and 27-year-old Marco and Tony, I think, had completely different preferences than 39 and 41-year-old Marco do at this, and Marco and Tony do at this point, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that back then you would have cared a lot more about my body hair. And now you're just kind of like, you're my husband. We're here together. Like, who the fuck cares? I know any and everything that there is about you. Like, let's just do it kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So where does that go? How does that maintain? I think for me personally, this answered a lot of questions and it kind of helped me put a little bit of things into perspective. Again, even me admitting that I'm a little self-conscious about the hairiness of my arms and my legs and things like that was just, it was a lot more insightful, just to even talk about it and say it out loud with this microphone with all of these listeners being witness to it. But it was fascinating. It's fascinating, right? It's very fascinating. And it's, again, just one of those weird relationship things, dating things that you have to kind of go through, whether or not you're vocalizing it. Because, again, headless torsos on a grid, you're whittling it down based off of what you're seeing. And so that's fascinating, too. So anyways, we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, Tony and I are going to read your listener situation. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. So many different ways to follow the podcast on social media.
Fun fact, I only know about half those platforms you just mentioned.
I am not the least bit surprised.
But I do know that relationship content is available on those social media platforms, and if you're not following us on any of them, then you're really missing out. On what? I have no idea, but I know you're missing out.
Yes, you are. We are at Pod Relationship on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. So give us a follow and double tap our photos and videos and show us some love.
That's at Pod Relationship on all social media platforms. Check us out wherever you social media.
That's not a thing. Nobody says check us out wherever you social media.
Well, they should.
No, they shouldn't. That sounds weird.
Whatever. You get the point.
I guess so. Check us out wherever you social media. We're at Pod Relationship on all platforms.
See, I told you it works.
Whatever. Goodbye.
All right. Now it's time for our listener situation.
That is right. Leave us a voicemail with your relationship situations by calling us at 903-POD-SHIT. That's 903-763-7448. You can also record a voice message and email it to us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com.
Or you can still send your situations or comments to us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com or on our website, podrelationship.com.
Tony and I will listen to your voicemails or read your emails here on the show and do our best to give some guidance, because
I ain't worried doing me tonight. A little sweat ain't ever hurt nobody. Why you standing on the wall? I'm the one tonight getting bodied, getting bodied, getting bodied, getting bodied, getting bodied. You want my body, won't you get me bodied? You want my body, won't you get me bodied?
I'm waiting for it.
You should see my body. I gotta know. I need to know if you can get me bodied. I'm kind of tight. I'm feeling right enough to see somebody. I want to let it out tonight. Want to dance. Want to party. Want to be myself tonight. Can you get me bodied? I want to be myself. No, okay. I'm good.
Don't get me started. Not get me started, because I will literally make an entire segment just singing this one song.
No surprise there. Of course, Beyonce made another appearance.
I love this for me. We were talking about bodies, body hair, yeah, get me body.
I got it.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, not much of a stretch.
Yeah.
All right. So here, we're going to read an email. So this one. Hello, Critellis.
Hi.
Howdy. My name is Jacob, and I've been with my boyfriend Tom for 6 years. When we first met, he had a best friend who he was always spending a lot of time with. They would go to concerts, go shopping, go out to clubs. Then out of nowhere, this friend basically disappeared. He didn't show to Tom's birthday 1 year and never said why. He stopped returning Tom's DMs and they drifted apart. Recently, this friend has returned. He explained why he took a huge step back and he did apologize. I'm concerned for my boyfriend though. I know how much this hurt him and I don't want to see him get hurt again. Tom is so forgiving and open, which I love about him, but I don't want it to leave him vulnerable. At the same time, I don't want him to be anything less than authentic with his old friend as their closeness was so important. I honestly don't know how to best support my boyfriend. Please help.
Fascinating. Very fascinating. Wow, this is very timely, as I feel like Tony and I have experienced this a couple of times during the course of our relationship. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's very fascinating. Yeah, mm-hmm. This has happened a couple times. I mean, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I want you to take the lead on this first, because I feel as though, as a partner that has had to stand by me as I've experienced this a few times within the friendships that I've had, that you probably have a lot more insight than I do.
Sure. Wow. Write it down on your calendars, folks. I can't believe you're letting me go first. Or that you just said any of that.
Really, Anthony?
Moment ruiner.
Really, Anthony? Really?
So I would say that it's similar to the end of the email. It's about supporting your partner. So you don't want to dwell on the past. And it's easy to be motivated by trying to prevent hurt feelings. But it's your partner's choice to have that person back in their life and to have that experience and to have that joy. And so I would say that if really focus on that, like really think about like supporting your partner. Don't come from that space where you're trying to prevent your partner from being hurt, right? Papa Bear, right? I get it. But your partner is a whole ass adult. Your partner, it sounds like, is not stupid. And so your partner will protect themselves and not get into that vulnerable state. At the same time, you want to help them heal. So you want to help them move past what happened and invite that friendship back into their life with an open smile, an open heart, you know, open arms, whatever you want to call it.
Open butthole.
Definitely not that. that's, I mean, unless that's your relationship model, but it's not ours. So no open butthole. but you really have to come at it from that perspective where you are just being supportive. At the same time, if it happens again, you don't want to take the I told you so approach. You really want to be like, you know, I think it's great that you tried. I think that it's wonderful that you will, you know, be open to someone like this. You know, you're going to have to answer for yourself how many times you're going to let this happen, because this is now twice. And are you going to let it happen a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time? And maybe they will. And you, as a supportive partner, you have to be open to that. At the same time, if this person is like a leech and they're taking all the money and they're only around when it's a good time and they're never around for the bad times, you know, you might have to set some boundaries and you might have to put your foot down a little bit. But I would say that for the most part, your boyfriend, Tom, is a whole ass adult who knows what he went through. And so be supportive of him trying to invite this person back in and try really hard not to lay traps and to be a aha gotcha kind of a approach, because it would be really easy to do that. And you wouldn't necessarily be not justified in doing that, because this person did fuck up big time. But we're all human. We're all allowed to make mistakes. We're all allowed to have situations, and true friendships can weather things like this.
Yeah.
The end.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on a lot of really important things. I think the one most important thing that you can do as a partner is just make sure you are having a conversation with your partner about what is happening, right? I think conferring with them and just making sure that everybody is aware their eyes are 100% right. open with the situation is insanely important. Just make sure that everybody is on the exact same page, right? You know what's happening. I know what's happening. I know what happened. You know what happened. And we understand where we're at with the situation right now. I think that's the first thing that you need to do. From there, you need to be able to talk to your partner and ask them, like, what are you actually hoping to get out of this situation? By revisiting this relationship, what are you hoping to get out of it? Is this soul filling, right? Is this loneliness and just needing to have a friend? Is this something that you are, I don't know, are you trying to come up with some sort of master plan to be rude and mean and you know, and try to, you know, give them a dose of their own medicine? Like, who, what is your agenda with this relationship, right? Is it going to work? Is it helpful? Is this what you need? Is this everything that you feel might be missing? And there is a reason why you're revisiting this situation, you know? I think to ignore that people evolve, relationships evolve, situations evolve over a course of time would be ignorant on everyone's end. Like, you can't not acknowledge that, right? People sure. change, things change, circumstances change. So, like, let's not hold people to the same standards or situations that took place a decade ago, right? 2 decades, who knows, right? But also do go into it with your eyes open and better understand the situation. If Tom feels as though he is evolved and can approach the situation again with his eyes open and in a better state than he may have been the first time he got hurt, then applaud him and support him as he goes through the situation. Who knows? There might be genuine love there between the friends, and you would never want to stand in their way with that. But I also think that it is really important and worth recognizing that you as a partner care so much about Tom that A, you decided to write in to us about the situation, but B, that you don't want to genuinely see him get hurt. Like, you just don't want that to happen for him. And I think that that is really important and again, really special. So the only thing that you can do at this point is just stand beside him and make sure that he knows that he has you there in case things may fall apart. Who knows what happens? I'm going to be optimistic about the situation and say that, like, everybody is mature, everybody moved on, things can be really great. But does Tom know and understand that the dynamic of the friendship may have evolved at this point, and that there's just kind of a new iteration of this friendship at this point in time? Because if he is going in trying to expect the same thing that they had, you know, decades ago or whatever, then you might have need to have a come to Jesus moment with them. Mm-hmm. Like, you're two different people than you were back in the day. So let's try to, like, go into this not expecting that, but go into it hoping to be able to be friends with what's going on right now, right? And as long as Tom understands that, then again, the only thing that you can do is stand beside him and root him on and be happy that he is able to reconnect with a friend, someone who it seems as though was important to him enough for him to try to go back into the situation, regardless of what could potentially happen from here on out, you know? Mm-hmm. So just be there, support him, love him, hold his hand. If you want to have that threatening conversation with the friend when Tom is not around, and you say, look, I love Tom and I know Tom loves you and I enjoy you, but if you hurt him like you did last time, I there's no hope for you. Like, and I need you to almost disappear because I can't have him be put through this ever again. If you feel so inclined to do that, you're more than welcome to, but I would be, you know, very cautious about doing that. Because if Tom is not on board with that conversation, then it might be a sticky situation to deal with, you know? So anyways, but I love this question. I think this is a really great relationship question because those things happen. You and I have had...
Life happens.
Yeah, you and I have had so many iterations of friendships through the 14 years that we have been together that it's fascinating, right? To like see how people come in and out of your lives. So we've experienced this a few times. So I think this is a very, very fascinating question. And I love it because this is that relationship building type question, right? Like, this is that next level of relationship. Like, I love you and I don't want to see you get hurt. So I need to make sure that this person is not coming into the situation with the hopes of hurting you in the future, you know? I think that's awesome. I think it's beautiful. I think it's really cool. I'm a huge fan of it. So, fascinating. Well, that's going to do it for that, for this week's listener situation. Again, make sure to leave us a voicemail with your relationship situations by calling us at 903-POD-SHIT. That's 903-763-7448. You can also record a voice message and email it to us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com. Tony and I will read your listener situation on an upcoming episode of the podcast. We're going to take a short break, but we will be back in just a bit.
Okay, it's my turn to start a Parasso ad.
Okay, so what's next?
Well, you always talk about how amazing the shave products are.
Because they are.
You're right. But we can't forget to talk about how amazing the beard products are, too.
I couldn't agree more.
So I wanted to talk about the beard wash, something I never thought I'd ever talk about, let alone use.
Well, that makes two of us.
Anyway, as a wearer of a beard, I know firsthand that the skin under your beard is really neglected. I also know that washing your beard with the shampoo you use on your head is bad for your beard.
Oh, for sure. It'll dry it out and make your skin all flaky and gross.
Well, the easy solution is the Parasso Beard Washes in 4 scents. Wood and Spice, Azure Lime, Cypress and Vetiver, and Refresh. These beard washes will not only make your beard clean and help it smell great, but it will also treat the skin under your beard to act as a sort of face wash to nourish your skin, make it feel great, and help promote healthy beard growth.
Wow, that is one very efficient beard wash.
Agreed. So if your beard could use some help, head over to Parasso-USA.com right now and grab a beard wash and other great beard items, and use code RELATIONSHIP15 at checkout to get 15% off your purchase.
Yes, a clean, good smelling beard is always appreciated, and if you can save some money on the items, why not take advantage?
Right? That's code RELATIONSHIP15 at checkout to get 15% off your purchase at Parasso-USA.com.
Hey, good job on your Parasso ad.
Why, thank you.
All right. So, of course, before we get out of here, I've got a couple of shits to put on your radar. First and foremost, wanted to congratulate and welcome our friends of the Minority Report podcast, Karel, Jarell, and Dewan, our Judies. We love them so much. They are now a part of the DNR Studios network as well.
Yay!
So not only are we really good friends and love each other the way that we do, but we're also like technically like siblings at this point, because we all got the same mama and daddy. Shout out to Derek and Romaine. We love them too. But we're so excited that Minority Report podcast is a part of the DNR Studios network now. And so you can get Minority Report podcast content on the DNR Studios app as well, the DNR Cast app, and then on their website as well. So give our girls a listen. We love them so much. Congratulations. We're so happy to actually be connected that way, even though we are a part of group chats and text messages and see each other as often as we possibly can. So we love them so very much, and we're excited to be a part of it, have them as part of it, and be able to be one little community together. It's just
community.
Yeah, it's so amazing. So give them a check out and definitely follow them on Instagram. They are at Minority Report on Instagram, and that's TEA Minority TEA Report on Instagram. We love them. And we know y'all will too. Tony and I are on some episodes of their podcast too. So if you want to hear some more from the Crotellis, you can always check us out there too. And then the second thing I have is the same thing I've been talking to y'all about every single week. If you could use some mental clarity, natural energy, and enhanced productivity, you guys have to try Magic Mind. It is magical. You can get it at magicmind.com/relation. With relation 20 at checkout, you also can get up to 56% off of your first subscription or 20% off of your one-time purchase. So it also works if you're already a subscriber, but check it out. We love it. Their little shots help give you boosts of energy, help you better focus on your work and your life. And they not only taste really great, but you can add them to your coffee, your smoothies, or anything like that. And it's got ashwagandha and lion's mane and all sorts of things that kind of help with that. So go check them out, magicmind.com/relation, and then use relation 20 at checkout to get some discounts on your purchases for the day. That's all I got for you.
Well, then that's going to do it for this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed this really important conversation.
Thanks for tuning in to the Relationship Podcast, part of the DNR Studios Network.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook, X, TikTok, and Instagram at PodRelationship. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us. And thank you for joining us for Season 8 Inches.
If you have any relationship situations that you'd like help with on an upcoming episode of the show, you can leave us a voicemail at 903-PODSHIT. That's 903-763-7444. Record a voice memo or write in an email your situations to us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com. You can also submit them on our website, podrelationship.com.
And be sure to check out the Relationship blog on our website every Friday, where I muse a bit further on the topic of the week.
A special thank you to our Patreon pips. We hope you enjoyed the additional Crotelli content we gave you this week on patreon.com/podrelationship. Another special thank you to our DNR Dingleberries. We hope you enjoyed the early access to the week's episode. Tony and I will harass your ears next week.
And remember, manscaping is important shit, no matter how much or how little you do.